Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You were listening to Programmer's Guide, and this is our recurring segment, Exam Refreshers.
Yeah, the perfect thing to have playing if you're, you know, literally in the car right now driving to the test center.
Exactly. Today, we have a very specific target. We are locking in on the GH300 GitHub Copilot certification.
And let's be real for a second. If you're listening to this, you are probably sitting in the parking lot of a Pearson VUE center, killing the engine and doing that final mental calibration before you walk in.
Right. And that is exactly the headspace we are targeting. This is a no-fluff zone.
Absolutely no fluff. We aren't here to teach you basic syntax.
No, we are skipping the hello world stuff today. This is not a prompt engineering tutorial for beginners.
Right. We aren't going to sell you on why AI is the future. You wouldn't be sitting for the GH300 if you didn't already know that.
This session is entirely about strategic alignment. We need to shift your brain out of developer mode, where you just want the code to compile, and into certification mode.
That's a huge distinction. You have to understand how the exam writers actually view Copilot in a professional enterprise environment.
Because the GH300 is not a coding exam.
I really cannot stress that enough. It is an exam about applied AI productivity, governance, and responsible usage.
If you go in there thinking, I know how to hit tab to autocomplete, so I'm good, you will fail.
Yeah, you will definitely fail. We need you to think like a technical lead or a CTO who is deploying this to 5,000 engineers.
So the mission for this deep dive is to systematically walk through the domains. We're going to cover foundations, prompting, productivity, security, and administration.
And we are going to specifically highlight the expectations around the newer capabilities, plus the common traps that always trip people up.
Okay, let's get right into the weeds. Section A, the foundations of GitHub Copilot.
Right. So the mindset here is that the exam expects you to understand the architecture, not just the user interface.
Yeah. The definition of what Copilot is has gotten a lot more nuanced. It used to be just, oh, it's an autocomplete.
That is the junior developer answer now. Functionally, it's a contextual AI assistant. It's a prediction engine that uses a highly specific context window to generate probability-based continuations.
And the absolute key word there is context.
Context is everything on this exam.
So let's drill into the context mechanism. Mm-hmm. Because early on, developers just assume, well, it reads my file. But for the exam, you need to know exactly what it reads and what it ignores.
Because you are going to get troubleshooting questions. A scenario where Copilot isn't giving the right answer, and the solution isn't just to ask it nicely.
The solution is technical.
Exactly. The mechanism relies heavily on neighboring tabs. This is the number one trap in the foundations section.
So what does that scenario look like on the test?
You'll see something like a developer is writing a function in file A that relies on a class defined in file B. Copilot is hallucinating methods that don't exist. What's the fix?
And the gut reaction for most devs is to just rewrite the prompt.
Right, or add a comment describing the class. Mm. And while that might work eventually, it's terribly inefficient.
The strategic exam answer is to just open file B in your IDE.
Exactly. Copilot prioritizes the tabs that are currently active in your working set. It constructs the prompt by looking at your current file, and then it stuffs the rest of the token window with snippets from those other open tabs.
So if it's not open, Copilot basically can't see it.
Basically, yes. If it's not in your open tabs, the base model is essentially guessing based on just the file name or standard library patterns.
Okay, so strictly for the exam, if the AI seems stupid, check your tabs.
Yes. Open tabs is a major keyword for context availability. The other thing is cursor position.
The fill-in-the-middle capability.
Right, FIM. Copilot reads above and below your cursor.
Why does reading below the cursor matter so much for troubleshooting?
Because it actively tries to bridge the gap. Mm. If you have some legacy garbage code immediately following your cursor, Copilot tries to generate code that logically connects to that garbage.
Oh, so it gets confused by the trailing context.
Exactly. A common troubleshooting step on the exam is to literally add new lines below the cursor to clear the context runway. Oh,
that is such a practical tip. Okay, let's talk about the models themselves. The exam expects you to know about multi-model selection now.
This is a big shift. Copilot isn't a monolith anymore. You have choices, and those choices are trade-offs between latency and reasoning power.
So you might see models like GPT 5.1 or Raptor Mini.
Right. Raptor Mini has a smaller context window. It's designed purely for speed. It's for when you are typing boilerplate and you want that suggestion in under 100 milliseconds.
So if the exam asks about a developer experiencing high latency while typing simple loops,
the answer is to switch to a low latency variant like Raptor Mini. But if they are refactoring a complex algorithm and the suggestions are syntactically right but logically wrong,
then you trade speed for brain power and switch to a reasoning model like GPT 5.1 or Claude Opus.
Exactly. It's an architectural decision.
Let's move to section B, prompting and effective usage. Now, we said this isn't a prompt engineering tutorial, but prompting is definitely on the exam.
It tests the application of prompt theory in a professional workflow. You need to know the difference between zero-shot and few-shot prompting.
Break that down for us.
Zero-shot is a direct command. Write a function to calculate this. You rely entirely on the base training data.
And few-shot.
Few-shot provides examples. You say, here is how we handle error logging in this project. Here's an example. Now write a new handler.
The exam heavily favors few-shot for complex enterprise tasks, right?
Yes, because it guides the AI to follow your specific team patterns. And this links right back to the open tabs strategy.
Because if you have a file open that has those examples in it,
you are implicitly doing few-shot prompting. Copilot sees the examples in the neighboring tab.
That's brilliant. What about the user interface choices? Inline versus chat versus the panel.
The completions panel is the one people forget. You usually hit Control Enter to open it.
When does the exam want you to use the panel?
When you need variety. If a question asks how to explore multiple distinct solutions for a block of code without chatting, the answer is the completions panel. It gives you like 10 options to scroll through.
So inline is for flow, chat is for conversation, and the panel is for evaluating alternatives.
That's a perfect heuristic.
Let's apply this to a classic exam scenario, updating legacy code safely. You've got a messy function from 5 years ago. How do you use Copilot strategically?
The trap answer here is to just highlight it and type /fix.
Why is that a trap? It sounds fast.
Because if you don't actually understand the code, having an AI blindly fix it is dangerous. The exam wants the human in the loop.
So what's the correct sequence?
First, highlight the code and use chat to explain it. Ask it to break down what the block does.
Verify your understanding first.
Exactly. Then once you verify it, you use a specific prompt to refactor it, maybe adding a constraint like maintain backward compatibility. And finally, you review the output.
Explain first, act second. I like that. That actually transitions us perfectly into section C, which is productivity and developer workflow integration.
This is where we get into the really powerful workflow augmentation stuff like agent mode.
Right. Agent mode is distinct from just basic chat.
Very distinct. Standard chat is sandboxed. It suggests text and you click insert. Agent mode actually wraps the model in a loop with file system write permissions and a terminal interface.
File system write permissions. That's where it gets real.
It is powerful. Agent mode can plan multi-file edits.
So if I rename a variable in my database schema, agent mode can figure out it needs to update the API routes and the front-end components too.
Yes. If a question asks about orchestrating a refactor across an entire module, inline suggestions is the wrong answer. Agent mode is the specific feature for that.
But doesn't that introduce a ton of risk, just letting the AI rewrite multiple files?
That's where the planning phase comes in. You might see it called plan review or mission control in the exam.
So it shows you a blueprint first.
Exactly. It says, I'm going to update these three files. You, the developer, review the plan, and then approve the execution. Request, plan, human review, execute. That is the exam workflow.
Got it. What about the specific slash commands? These feel like easy points if you just memorize them.
They are. Let's start with slash tests or slash generate tests. The exam emphasizes that devs shouldn't be writing boilerplate edge cases manually.
So if a scenario is about ensuring reliability for a new API,
use slash generate tests. But the critical nuance is the follow-up step. You must review the generated assertions. AI is notorious for writing tautological tests that just pass by default.
Assert true is true.
Exactly. So the exam will ask what the developer must do after generation. The answer is always validate the assertions.
What about slash optimize?
That's for performance analysis, reducing memory usage, improving big O complexity.
And slash fix.
For debugging specific syntax or linter errors.
Let's not forget the CLI usage, the command line interface.
Right, usually accessed via GHProPilot. The two main commands are suggest and explain.
So suggest is for when I need to output a command, like how do I undo my last git commit?
Right, and it will give you the exact shell command. Explain is for when you find a weird string of bash scripting on Stack Overflow and you have no idea what it actually does.
Suggest, generates, explain, analyzes.
Perfect. And remember the prerequisite. You have to have the GitHub CLI tool installed first to use the Copilot CLI extension. That's a common trivia question.
Okay, that covers the developer workflows. Now we need to put on our executive suits. Section D, security, compliance, and responsible AI.
This is a massive portion of the test, easily 15 to 20%. And you cannot guess your way through this using coding logic. You have to know the actual enterprise policies.
The biggest topic here is usually the public code filter, right? Duplication detection.
Yes. This addresses the fear that Copilot will spit out a chunk of GPL licensed code and suddenly your proprietary app has a copyleft violation.
So what are the actual policy options you need to know?
You need to know the difference between block and allow modes.
Block seems obvious.
Block prevents the suggestion entirely if it matches a snippet of public code in the training set. It just stays silent.
And allow.
Allow lets the code through, but, and this is the exam key, it lobs it, it creates an audit trail.
So if a question describes a defense contractor with zero tolerance for IP risk, the answer is configure the public code filter to block.
Correct. But if it's an open source friendly company that just wants visibility, the answer is allow with audit logs.
Now here is a massive trap I see people fall into, confusing the toxicity filter with the public code filter.
Oh, they're completely different, orthogonal concepts.
The toxicity filter stops hate speech, slurs, discriminatory language.
Yep.
It protects the human.
Yes, whereas the public code filter protects the intellectual property.
So does the toxicity filter stop bad code, like a SQL injection vulnerability?
No, absolutely not. That is the trap. Copilot can be perfectly polite and still write a SQL query that is completely vulnerable to injection.
So if the exam asks how Copilot ensures code is secure from vulnerabilities and toxicity filter is an option,
that is a distractor. Copilot itself is not a security scanner. You still need tools like GitHub Advanced Security for that.
Let's talk about data handling boundaries. Does Microsoft train its base models on my proprietary enterprise code?
For the exam, you need to differentiate between the individual, business, and enterprise licenses. For business and enterprise tiers, prompt data and code snippets are not retained for training the base models.
So the data is encrypted in transit, processed, and then discarded.
Exactly. That is the exact reassurance an enterprise decision maker needs.
Which brings us to the heaviest part of the exam, Section E, administration, rollout, and enterprise adoption.
This is where the GH300 really earns its advanced badge. It's not about how you code. It's about how the organization scales and governs AI.
Let's talk about knowledge bases. This is a big differentiator.
Knowledge bases is an enterprise tier feature. It lets you index your organization's documentation, wikis, markdown files, so Copilot can answer highly specific company questions.
Like, what is our standard deployment pipeline for this specific microservice?
Right. It's essentially retrieval augmented generation built into the tool.
And the exam trap is confusing the license tier. If they ask how to set up a knowledge base on a business plan.
You can't. You need GitHub Copilot Enterprise.
What about policy management? Where do these governance rules actually live? Can I just drop a .copilot policy file into my repo root?
No, and that's a crucial distinction. Policies like the public code filter are centralized. They are set at the organization or enterprise level in the GitHub dashboard.
Wait, what about the .copilot-ignore file?
.copilot-ignore works like a gitignore. It tells Copilot not to read a specific file for context. Any developer can add that to a repo. That's a technical configuration.
I see.
But an admin policy overrides local config. A developer cannot override an enterprise block policy with a local file. Governance is queen.
Governance is queen. I love that. Let's talk about executive justification. Usage metrics. A manager wants to know if Copilot is actually worth the money.
You look at the usage metrics in the enterprise reporting dashboard. You'll see seats assigned versus active users and acceptance rate.
The percentage of suggestions the developer actually accepts.
Right. But be careful. A high acceptance rate just means high adoption, not necessarily high quality. The exam might ask about the best way to measure productivity impact.
Then the answer there usually involves cycle time or time to first commit, not just raw lines of code generated.
Exactly. Business metrics.
Okay. We are moving into the final stretch here. I want to dedicate a few minutes purely to the common exam traps. We've hit a few, but let's summarize them so they are front of mind.
Let's do it.
Trap number one, the magic wand trap.
Assuming Copilot replaces developer judgment, you'll see a scenario where Copilot suggests code that uses a deprecated library. The answer is never to just accept and deploy. The answer is always review, validate, and test.
Trap number two, the real-time internet trap.
Assuming Copilot works like a live search engine, unless you are specifically using a web-enabled agent feature, the base model relies entirely on its training data and your immediate open tabs. It doesn't Google things for you in real time.
Trap number three, the licensing trap.
Confusing business versus enterprise features. Remember the dividing line. Knowledge bases and advanced compliance reporting are enterprise features.
Trap number four, the perfect security assumption.
This is critical. Copilot will suggest insecure code if your context leads it there. If your file already uses MD5 hashing, Copilot will suggest more MD5 hashing.
Because it mimics the pattern, it doesn't judge the pattern.
Exactly. It's a pattern matcher, not a moral arbiter.
And the final trap, the public code quality nuance.
Just because a snippet passes the public code filter does not mean it is good code.
Yeah.
The filter only checks for provenance. It checks if it's copied. It doesn't check if it's optimized or bug-free.
It's a plagiarism checker, essentially.
A plagiarism checker, not a quality gate.
All right, let's bring this all together. It is time for the executive level recap. If our listener is pulling into the parking lot right now, reaching for the door handle, what is the final mental checklist they need?
I've got five pillars for you. Number one, think augmentation, not replacement. You are the pilot. AI is the co-pilot. The human is always in the loop.
Number two,
think review and validation. Every scenario answer should involve a verification step.
Number three,
think context awareness. If the AI is stuck, check your open tabs. Manage your cursor position. Context is king.
Number four,
think governance and policy. If the question involved restricting access or protecting IP, the answer is in the organization settings. Governance is queen.
And number five,
think enterprise enablement. Understand the difference between technical configurations in the IDE and centralized policies in the cloud.
That is a phenomenal summary. Augmentation, review, context, governance, enablement.
If you keep those five principles in mind, you can reason your way through almost any scenario question on the GH300.
And remember, read the question twice. Pay attention to the constraints. Does it specifically say legacy code? Does it specifically say strict security environment? Those keywords dictate which feature you choose.
Exactly. The exam gives you plenty of time. Don't rush the scenario analysis.
I think we have given them everything they need to crush this.
I feel really good about it.
Keep this closing thought in your head as you walk into the testing room. You are not being tested on how fast you can code. You are being tested on whether you understand how AI fits responsibly into modern software delivery.
That's the whole ballgame right there.
All right, take a deep breath. You've got this. This has been Programmer's Guide Exam Refreshers. Drive safe, stay sharp, and I'll see you on the other side of the exam.